Viewers, listeners, welcome to another edition of Blighty Talks Bricks. My guest today is someone that I've literally just met in the last few minutes. We did have a telephone conversation a few days ago. The telephone conversation, I think, probably didn't last as long as I thought it was going to last, but I gleaned a lot from my guest today. She's a young lady that impresses me greatly because she's set up her own business. She's involved in the property world. She's an interior designer. She's got a great interest that actually went back, I think she said to me, so when she was 10 years of age, that she was really interested in architecture. We've had a few people on the show that have had an interest in architecture and interior design, but the thing that struck me most about my guest today was a connection with emotional wellness. She's also had a big physical challenge when she was younger than she is today. But what impressed me most was the way that she was open, confident to deal with all of those things that have been presented to her in her short life. So I'm really excited to see where this conversation is going to go. And I have great pleasure in introducing my guest today, Julia Vojtovic. Julia, welcome to Blighty Talks Bricks. Lovely to sit down with you. I really enjoyed our telephone conversation. And so I'm looking forward today. How are you?
Hello, Steve. And hello to all the listeners. I feel so honored to be here today because I know there have been some big names here before me and I feel very flattered. So thank you so much for inviting me. I'm really good. Very, very excited to be here today and happy to share my story with you.
Well, I'm happy that you're here. And thank you for your time because I know you're busy. I just want to touch on your professional side. 10 years of age, interested in architecture. Why?
I mean, I think I just always, I don't know if you can say it was an interest in architecture. I don't think back then I would name it this way, but I was always, you know, interested in buildings since I was a kid. I remember when we were playing Sims, you know, Sims was very popular, a computer game back then. And, you know, I used to spend like 8 hours playing Sims, but only building houses. I never really played like the family life.
Really?
Yeah, I was always just like creating different houses and like building, because that was like the only tool I could use back then when I was like, I don't know, 9, or I remember we were going to primary school. So I realized like that's something that I'm really drawn to, like the spaces, making them look like nice, feel good. And my stepmom, because my parents divorced when I was younger, she always was buying interior design magazines. So she was like had piles of those magazines in a house. And I was just like sitting down, like reading them. And I remember I was thinking like, wow, this is amazing. This is what I want to do. And I don't know, I just went with that feeling because yeah, I just could feel it that this is what I want to do.
So when you say home, where was home for you?
Home is Poland. It's in Gdańsk, so North Poland.
And how long have you been in the UK?
10 years now.
Okay. And what was the interest to come to the UK?
So I got a scholarship to the boarding school here. And actually, I initially didn't really want to go to the UK. I was always interested in going to study abroad. And my cousins did this thing. They went to the States for a year in high school. And when I heard that story, I was like, that's what I want to do. I want to go to the States in high school. And I applied for a few scholarships, one to the States, one to the UK, because it came up. And I was like, actually, I can try, see what I get. Maybe I will get one of them, maybe none. And it ended up that I got 2.
Doesn't surprise me because you're a bright cookie, aren't you?
So I actually had a hard time choosing because I always wanted this American like dream. But
where was the choice between?
It was either North Carolina or Shropshire, Bedstone College in Shropshire.
Really? And you tried, nothing against Shropshire, but really? North Carolina?
I didn't know what I'm doing. I mean, I think because Polish, what swayed me into the UK is that the scholarship in the States was for a year and Polish system of education didn't didn't approve that year, so you would need to then redo that year and basically graduate 1 year later than everybody else. And in the UK it was 2 years A levels, so I was like, and I knew back then even that I want to study architecture in Bath, so I was like, that will probably be better for Bath University if I go to the UK. So I was like, easy choice.
And did that work out for you? Enjoyed your time here?
Well,
you're obviously still here, so.
Yes, but it's been, you know, it's been up and down, let's say. Definitely the boarding school experience was challenging. Like, I came here so excited because everybody sells, I think back then, maybe it was a little bit different 10 years ago, but we were sold this dream, like you study in a boarding school. Yeah, you imagine it as a Polish girl, like a Harry Potter kind of,
I was just going to say Harry Potter.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
It's nothing like that, is it?
No, nothing. No. It's been like really strict. I was, of course, like very kind of free child as well in my city. We were going out a lot with my friends. So it was like very exciting life. And then I'm coming to this
prison.
Like, yeah, kind of a prison, middle of nowhere, like sheep. And, you know, it was a tiny, tiny village, like few houses and a school. And the scenery was beautiful because you had the hills and it looked very nice, was green, but...
That's because it rains a lot.
Yeah, it was really rainy. It was quite depressive. And yeah, so it was not what I expected, but it was definitely like an experience that makes you grow up. Like I could see that, you know, in those 2 years, I became so much more like responsible for myself and just more mature.
You matured.
Yeah, definitely. And I could see the difference when I was coming back home in comparison to my Polish friends, like how my mindset just shifted. Because I feel when you leave your home, you instantly appreciate it so much more. You know? Just,
it changes, doesn't it? Yeah, you grew up. So you did your 2 years there.
Yeah.
Where did you go to then?
So then I went to Bath University.
So you achieved what you set out.
Yes. I was like, that's my like first choice. I knew that I want to go there, and then I ended up there. So that was really, it was exciting.
So I can, as I said to you, I could tell on the telephone that you were confident. And we'll talk about that a little bit further along the lines. But you achieved your goal. You had a tough time in Shropshire. You achieved your goal of ending up at uni in Bath. What makes you tick? What makes you want to achieve? I'm always interested in what people, ambitious people, what's the thing inside them that makes them want stuff?
I think it's just like, I always was a big dreamer. Like I always had these big dreams. I always was hopeful that like I can achieve it. And just, I think hungry for experiences. I think it's just like this desire to experience things, you know, like... Yeah, I definitely like wouldn't be happy sitting in Poland, in one city. Like I want to see things. I want to like meet different people, like be exposed to cultures. And even if I want to come back later, 10 years down the line, it's because, you know, I experienced these things and I know what I want now. So, I think it's just desire to try things out.
So you left Bath. When did you set up your own business?
I left Bath and I worked for like 3.5 years in practice in total, and I set up on my own.
So the companies you worked for, good companies?
Very good companies.
Good organizations?
Yes.
Well run? Are you still in touch with some of your colleagues? And
very much so. Like we are in touch with, I worked in two practices in London. One was architectural practice that also does interior design, but more commercial buildings, bigger scale. And in a company specifically interior design, but also they expand. So they also start doing some architecture now. And it's more high-end West London. Started with residential, but now really growing a big brand, moving to hospitality. A very luxurious kind of market that they work with. So really, really good companies. I'm still in touch with both my ex-bosses from both of them, very good relationship with them, also with colleagues. So no, it's a small world. And
so it was a very brave move. You've left home, you've left your family at home, you've gone to boarding school. It wasn't Harry Potter experience.
No.
You've achieved what you wanted to achieve. You've ended up at Bath. You've come out, you've had 3 and a bit years experience working for, by your own words, very good companies. yet your ambition makes you want, because running your own business, I can tell, I've been running my own business for nearly 30 years, it's not bloody easy. It sticks with you all of the time. It never goes away. When you finish on a Friday, you haven't got that week because it's gnawing away. What made you want to do that?
Well, I think it was a feeling like, I will tell you a little story now. When I was working in the first architectural practice, that was basically the practice of my dreams. I actually knew, and life always somehow like clicked in for me, like what I wanted, I kind of got it.
Well, you probably created that.
Or like I attracted it. So when I was in Bath, even before I went to Bath, there was this company in London that I said to myself, and I was applying to uni, that this is where I want to work after I finish uni. So 4 years later.
So you were that far ahead, was
you
really?
I was always a big planner. So I had life planned 5 years up front. I knew where I want to go, what I want to do. And then, you know, I finished Bath, I apply, people start applying for jobs. And, you know, in architecture, it's a very competitive profession. So people often apply to like 100 companies and they can't get a job. I send the first application to my dream practice and I get an email that like they would love to hire me. So I was like, amazing, I don't need to look for more jobs. And it's like exactly what I wanted. So I was so excited. And it's my like first job after graduating, and the company was like amazing. The atmosphere there was just like people were so lovely. We became really close friends, and I loved working there. And then 1.5 year in, or 1 year in, I basically, that was COVID times. So even when I joined the practice, that COVID already was happening. At 1 year in, there was this big lockdown in London, and that was during the Christmas time where I went home to Poland. And back then we were flat sharing, you know, with 5 other people. And I thought, no point coming back to London. Everybody will be locked in a small flat. How will I even work? So I stayed in Poland for 2 more months. And this is when the accident happened. We will come on to that. But that really changed my perspective, and that made me want to, I think, start something of my own. And I think you just learned so much from that experience.
Okay, so when we spoke on the telephone, I mean, I don't know how long we've been sitting here for 10, 12 minutes, I don't know. Your confidence just exudes, comes across, you can feel it. Your work ethic comes across. You've achieved amazing things. You've written things down on a piece of paper and you've made them happen. But I also know that the part of the conversation that struck me the most on the telephone was the other side of life, the emotional side of life. But tell us about your accident.
Yeah, so as I was saying, it was COVID times. I came to stay a little bit longer at home because it was more comfortable to work from there. And one afternoon, like I'm coming back from Lidl and waiting to cross the road. And one car basically let me cross. So I started walking, and the other car going from another direction didn't stop, like he hit me full speed. So I was basically hit by a car once crossing the road, and I apparently went 29 meters in the air.
29 meters up and along.
Yeah, like far, like 29 meters across.
Right.
I don't remember it because I had a concussion, so I basically lost consciousness, thankfully, because that saved my life. I just remember waking up in a hospital on drugs, essentially, with like a broken spine and broken foot, and like I didn't really know what's happening. And then I spent
how long was your recuperation from that?
In total it was 4 months, so it was really, really quick. Like the doctors said that they have never seen anybody recovering so quickly from an
accident
like that. Because
your spines are very technical things, aren't they, to get to have go wrong?
Yeah, I also didn't have like a big spine injury. There was like a few fractures, but they weren't like very serious fractures. So that was like the most, like the biggest miracle really, because of course, if I broken like a spine in a worse place, that would be probably, I would be, you know, paralyzed or something. So
your world going back, your world has been a world where you've been ambitious. You're obviously very bright. You've planned your world out. This car crash and things happen like that very quickly. You've come off the drugs. You're starting to get better, but you're still in rehab for 4 months. What was your mental side? Did things change then? Was it like somebody just gave you a different script to read from?
Everything changes. Firstly, like you need to learn how to walk again, because of course you're like lying on bed for 1 month, you're not moving, your muscles are, you know, going away. Like you can I realized the foot that was broken, this leg just became so skinny. So you realize how important like the health is. Like you start to really, really prioritize it and appreciate, and you give such a big value to being healthy and having, you know, physical ability. So I remember the first thought that came to me was that I never want to give it away for like working overtime or like pushing myself to the limits where I can't actually take care of my body and take care of my health, because that's the most important thing and people take it for granted. And also the second thing was that I always planned my life, and you see, you know, life is so unpredictable. You can't plan it.
No, you can't.
You can't plan it. Things happen to you. And I always looked at this accident as like the biggest lesson of my life, because it gives me a second chance and I can live a different life now. I was so like a prisoner of my own plans and my own thoughts. And that's not like really a full, like, you know, it's like you have a goal, you achieve it, but you don't really like feel and you don't live fully. So I think it was just a lesson for me to show me these things, to be more appreciative and more mindful and like change the values that I lived by.
So you say a word there that strikes me, the word prisoner. You was a prisoner to yourself.
Yeah.
You was a prisoner to your ambition. You'd pretty much had a pretty cool life, because other than it wasn't Harry Potter, you pretty much achieved everything you wanted to achieve. You're crossing the road. That happens. You then have this 4 months of all of the things you've just said, learning to walk, just aligning your life in a different way. But you came back to the UK.
Yes, I came back to the job that the architectural job I was in. They were basically waiting for me. I was on like a sick leave for all these months. And and I came back a different person. I feel like, firstly, I remember this thought coming to London and observing people being, you know, like little hamsters in a wheel, just like always chasing something. London is so busy. It's so fast paced. And I was like, came back from this experience, like with a different mindset. And I remember I said to myself, I don't want to be here for longer than 5 years max, because I feel like after 5 years, people like get caught up in this London life and they can't escape it. And I knew from the very beginning, like, I don't want that. Like, I feel like that's, people don't take care of them, of their health. I feel like work is everything here. And I was like, that's not like how I want to live.
I get all of that. And you have this job. They obviously think the world of you. They obviously kept the job open for you.
Yeah.
You came back. I get you don't want to get on that hamster wheel. I'm on an elephant wheel, because I wouldn't fit on an hamster wheel. But you sort of left. There's a little bit of comfort working for people. You then went on your own.
No, then after this architectural company, I actually went to interior design company. So only after the accident, I quit my architectural job, and I realized architecture is actually not for me anymore. Like, so that was a big change in my, you know, planned life, that I wanted to be an architect. And suddenly I'm like, no, I don't want to be an architect anymore. So I went to interior design, and I anyway was working in like interior part of architecture always. So that wasn't really a big change for me. It was more change from commercial to high-end resi and, yeah, that was the bigger kind of change. And I was working in the second amazing practice again, lovely people, everything was perfect, but I felt like unfulfilled. I could feel that, like, what's happening to me? Why don't I just feel the fulfillment? Like, it's everything that I always wanted. And yeah, and then I realized that I think I actually always wanted to be independent. And because I'm a doer and I just, you know, I think about things, but I just do things despite the fear. Like when I feel it, I'm like, I'm going to give it a shot because I'd rather try something. And if it's not for me, at least I tried it.
Absolutely right.
Yeah.
Absolutely right.
So I just, something comes in my head and I'm like, okay, I really, really feel it deeply. So I was just, I'm going to set up on my own and see how it goes. Because that in my head, I realized that's the only way that I can stay in this profession. In the field of interior design, I either make it on my own or I'm going to probably do a career switch or something. I couldn't see myself working for an employer as an interior designer for 10 years.
So you've been running your own business now for how many
years? 1 year.
1 year?
Yeah.
How's that? Because you chose a pretty damn tough time to start doing it.
It's tough. It's really challenging. It's really, really challenging. Like I, you know, before I started, I was listening to all these motivational business podcasts and books and they like entrepreneurial spirit, which I always had anyway, because my entire family is like a family of people who own their own businesses. Like I don't think there is anyone in my family that worked for an employer. So I think I just kind of have it from home as well. And I was super excited at the beginning, you know, everybody gives you like this positive attitude and like I have quite positive attitude towards life anyway, but it's the most challenging thing that I've ever done in my life.
Are you enjoying it?
Yes, like deep down, I'm so proud that I actually gave it a go and I feel fulfilled. But I feel also often very, you know, very upset and frustrated. And it's just hard day to day.
Don't knock around with me because I'll give you the frustration all the time. But it's tough, isn't it?
It's really, really tough. Yeah, it's really tough. I'm not going to lie.
And the first year is the toughest.
That's what people tell me. That's why I keep going. You know, that's why I keep going, because this one thing that I took from these podcasts was just don't give up. Keep pushing, you know. That's the most important thing, to be persistent and like don't give up. Many, many people, they start and they can't finish because they give up because it's too hard for them. And I'm not a quitter, so I'm just going to do everything that I can. And, you know, maybe at some point I change my mind. But for now, even if it's hard, I'm like, I'm still going to do it.
Well, I suppose one of your good things to look back on was you were laying on a hospital bed. I'm sure when you awoke, and I'd forget the drugs, but I'm sure when you woke up from that being knocked over by a car, you had one of the biggest challenges in your life.
Yes, exactly. And before starting this business, I was saying always that that was the most challenging thing in my life, the accident. But the business was so hard that I can compare it to the accident, you know, and because it happened, like,
I get that
it's
one.
More recent. I feel like I live more by the business than the accident, because that's been 3 years ago. Although I do, of course, like I think about it a lot, and that also grounds me. And that reminds me why I'm doing what I do, what I'm doing. And it gives it purpose, really. So I think if not the accident, I probably wouldn't have the courage to do that. So I look at it as like, you know, it's a blessing in a way.
And have you got some big jobs or jobs that you're doing at the moment?
I have a few. I have a couple of projects. I work around the Belsize Park area mostly. And there is the biggest, like my main job that I'm focusing on. And I work on my own with a small team, contractor, architect, client and landscape designer. It's a great listed house, a beautiful property. So that's my main focus. And then on top of that, I do like, you know, smaller kind of projects where the scope is not so big, because that's like a full house renovation. So it's actually quite big for me as like a one person. And on top of that, we do everything in 3D. You know, it takes a lot of time to CGI everything. And that's the way that I work, so that clients have biggest, like big confidence in making decisions. They can see the space and it's very clear. But yeah, it's a lot of work. So
good. Well, listen, you've obviously had some challenges. You seem to deal with challenges very well. When we was on the telephone conversation, the word anxiety came up.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if it was me who said that or you, but one of us did. I suffer from anxiety. And you said to me, you do. Now, you're young. You're a very attractive young lady. You're obviously very smart. You've had a career, you know, that you've always followed and achieved. You've had adversity, you know, getting knocked over by a car and being in distress and a challenge to come from that. You came back to the UK. There's lots of comfort zones that you could have easily settled into.
Yeah.
But you haven't. I would never associate, other than I know what it's like, and there'll be lots of viewers and listeners that wouldn't, because they'd be looking at you now and listening to you now, and they'll be going, I don't get that. This, you know, there'll be a lot of people wishing they were you, if I'm honest, other than the car accident. But why do you suffer from anxiety?
Well, I think it started, I always had really high expectations of myself. I think that's really big thing in anxiety. I think it's expectations. And another thing, my anxiety really grew since, of course, I took on this big challenge starting the business and really jumping in a deep water with this project. Because when I took it on, I was so excited, but like, you know, I have experience, very good experience, but of course I'm young. So I knew there is a lot of things that I haven't done. And I had a positive attitude of like, I'm going to learn on a job. I know I'm a problem solver, so I'm going to do it and it will be okay. And I'm very professional, dedicated to my work. So I wasn't really worried about delivering it, but I think it's because it's been like so much harder than I anticipated, and I'm constantly out of my comfort zone. Like the learning curve is so steep that to like you just feel uncomfortable, and often so uncomfortable like that gives you anxiety. And because you care, like I care, yeah, so much, I take it, you know, it's almost like a personal thing to me. It's my, like I dedicated my life to that project and I just really care about it. And I think that's another reason why it gives me anxiety, because if it's not going to plan, I take it personally. I couldn't like distance myself from it. And I went in this bad loop of just like, when you think about like the whole project that you need to deliver and it has so many levels and layers to it, you can get overwhelmed. So you need to break it into little steps. But when you start looking at it as like, wow, I need to do all these things in the next 2 months, like your brain just...
You can't put it all down on one piece of paper, can you?
Yeah, and I feel like I couldn't control it, but now I'm in much better place. I feel like I snapped out of it a bit, and I you need to learn how to distance yourself from that, and that, you know, work is not everything in your life. And there are, you know, often when I think about the accident, that helps me, because I'm like, if that happened now, I would leave any moment and I wouldn't feel guilty. So that makes you feel like you have a choice. And and it helps, but I think it's difficult because we care so much, and it's just a lot of work.
So, talking about the anxiety, I know what I'm like when I get it. I'm substantially older than you, so I have that experience of. But it's only now, with support from friends, family, clients, who now probably understand more sometimes the way I behave, which is not an excuse, because I'm not an excuse person. But when you've got your anxiety, does it change your personality? Because you're bubbly. I mean, you walked into this building and the place lit up. You are bubbly. You've got that personality that just lights a room up. So when you're suffering with anxiety, is this clown's face on and you're acting, or?
It changes me, because I'm like an open book. So when I always was so bubbly and so enthusiastic, and people loved my energy. And I honestly loved it too. And I always wanted to be like that. And when the anxiety started, I stopped being like that. I feel like I'm just more closed, you know, more sad. I think what also triggered my anxiety was that when I set up a business and I'm on my own, I started to work from home. You talk about working from home a lot.
Yeah, I'm not a lover.
So I'm not a lover anymore either, because I feel like that was such a big...
I've got one convert. I've achieved something. I've got one somebody that agrees with me.
No, honestly, because I started to work from home all the time. Before I was going to like company 2-3 days a week, that was perfect for me because I could see the people, you know, it was a mix. So that was perfect. But when I started to work on my own, single person company from home, it started to drive me crazy because I'm such an extrovert. I felt like part of it really is the reason for my anxiety, that I'm not exposed to these people and relationships that I need in my life. So, that's...
Do you have any, I call it triggers, sometimes I use the word mechanisms. Do you feel that you go to yourself, actually, Julie, I'm starting to feel a bit. Do you have any mechanisms that you know that you're going to feel anxious? You know that it's going to change your... Because it does change your personality. Some people, it makes them angry. Some people, it makes them quiet. Some people, it can both. Do you have any mechanisms that you now can go to and say, maybe you just look back and say, do you know what? Just remember that hospital bed.
Yeah, I think about this. I often just go, like, leave the house, go for a run. Listen to like some podcasts not related to work at all, related to something else, just to like remind yourself there is more to life than just, because anxiety to me, it's mostly caused by work. So I need to snap out of like thinking about work, and that helps me. Often going home to Poland helps. Like if I'm in a really bad place, I just go in, like jump on a plane, go home instantly. It's like, you take it away, like, because I see my family, I'm surrounded by people that I really care and love, and my friends are there. I felt like, a lot of anxiety was caused by me being separated from them, and a lot of my friends left London. So it started to be, like, I was just more lonely, you know, and I can't really be lonely because I become unhappy. So...
We all do.
Yeah.
We're not made. We love our own company at times. I'm an only child, so I'm used to being on my own, but we're not made to be on our own, are we?
No, I just think also it's important to then like remind yourself about other important things in life. Like go spend some time with your friends, with your family, you know, like feel that life is not just this work that stresses you out, and also world doesn't end if you sometimes don't deliver something. That's how I think about it. I'm like, if I'm late a few days, like, it's okay. I'm not a doctor. Like, there is no life on the scale here. Like, nothing is gonna happen. So I shouldn't really worry about it that much. I think I also went through therapy, and
for the anxiety and
no, actually, firstly, I started the therapy because of the accident. It was a PTSD.
Okay.
But then it shifted to be more just about like a behavioral therapy about my problems. And back then, I didn't really have such a big anxiety. It was related to like more like relationship problems in family and stuff. But when I developed the anxiety, then I came back to my therapist, and we were working with that, and I realized that it's all my perspective. You know, you choose. I sometimes feel like partially we are responsible for our anxiety because it's the way we look at things.
Absolutely.
It's all perspective.
We can own it, but we can't look for excuses.
Yes, exactly. So I just try to be able to control my perspective more. You know, see the glass half full, remind myself why I'm doing what I'm doing, that life is not always, you know, it's clouds and sun and they change. It's a wave and you can't be happy without being sad. So I always try to look at it as, you know, it's all experience that makes you grow, learn about yourself, like how to deal with problems. And I honestly believe that like it will lead you to be a happier person like further down the line. So I think everything in life is necessary, both these good and bad feelings. I just try to look at it as like, it's not the end of the world. It's all necessary.
Do you still talk to your therapist?
She said last time, she was like, I don't really see the reason why.
Well,
do
you know what?
The
reason I asked that question is because, and you're very young, but your journey, is on that way. You're on the way up for sure. I can see that.
Oh, thank you.
And what about your old bosses? I mean, have you got any old bosses that are like, in my world, it's funny, I spoke to one on the way down here this morning, one of my old mentors.
Yeah.
10 years older than me, looks 20 years older than me. He won't appreciate me saying that, but I'm still in touch with him. I still have people to talk to. Are you in that position to talk to them now?
Yeah, I mean, I have really good relationship with my boss from the architectural practice. He actually helps me like a lot now because I'm in my relationship ended 2 months ago and I ended up without the flat, and he basically is letting me to stay in one of his apartments. So he's so lovely to me. I really appreciate him helping me. And we weren't in touch for like a year, and then I have a problem and he's so willing to be there for me. So that's
good.
That's amazing. I think when you and then life just gives you solutions sometimes. So I really trust the process. Because I was going through a hard time and there are people that want to help me, and I really just am so grateful for that. So it's nice, very nice.
Nice people like to help nice people. That's a fact.
Yeah.
Nice people help nice people. Business plan still as ambition as ever? You still got the same ambitions?
I do have ambition, but I need to, I want to rethink certain things before I start growing. Because I can see potential for growth. Of course, I want to grow the business, but I don't want to rush into anything anymore. Because I can see that, when you don't plan it, and I didn't plan it that well, I kind of did it like I felt it, I started, and it was good because otherwise I probably would never do it. But now I got to a point where like these projects will finish, I will build a nice portfolio, and from then I will have a better strategy moving forward, so I don't end up in the same place again. But yeah, definitely few ideas for how I could grow.
Good. Well, I hope you keep your ambition, because I'm sure you're good at what you do and you make people feel comfortable. Talking about making people feel comfortable, there'll be viewers and listeners, especially the younger generation, that are feeling lots of things but don't have some of the experiences because of just age, really. Can you give us a couple of tips that work for you, that might be able to work from somebody else that's not necessarily been knocked over by a car, but somebody that's struggling and just feels anxious and not happy? Is there just a couple of little points you could give us to maybe that they could think about?
I think the most important thing I would tell to everybody is just to trust their intuition. Like trust this feeling that you have inside you, and like really follow that. Because I feel like a lot of people fulfill other people's dreams, like, and they, their parents have expectations and other people have expectations, and they don't really live their life for themselves. And I feel like that often gives anxiety. So just trust yourself, really, and also be able to hear that voice. Because I've been in a place where you wanna listen to it, but it just, you can't really hear it. But and you feel like you're in this fog, but then the fog settles down. Like, give yourself time and really, like connect with your soul. I think that's very important, and I think that, to me, that means fulfilled life. Like, ask yourself what you really want and just do it. And live your life.
Well, it's interesting you say that, because just before we sat down for the podcast, I was with Coral and Jackie and Harry, people in my business, and I mentioned that gut feeling. You put it more eloquently than me. I mentioned that gut. Every time I go against my gut feeling, it causes me problems.
Yeah, the same.
But it takes courage to fight against that, because what you see, and it's interesting you mentioned listen to your soul, listen to your voice. It's interesting. Every time I go against my gut feeling, it ends in tears. But it takes a lot of confidence to listen to your soul and to listen to your voice.
I agree. I think, it's very courageous. And also we tend to rationalize things. We tend to like explain everything that we think in our head, and I overthink as well. But no, like, I mean, it's good. It's good to do that. It's good to, you know, have
rationalize,
have pros and cons of your actions. But when you feel it like deeply, you just know this is it. And anytime you go against it,
it goes wrong.
It's wrong. It
goes
wrong.
Tits up, as my old mum would say. It goes tits up.
Yeah, goes tits up.
Julia, I said to you when we put the telephone down, I said, you know what? I think I'm really going to enjoy talking to you. And I've loved it. I also said to you, and I say this a lot when we're on the podcast, time goes quickly.
Oh, yeah, it does.
She's looking at the clock now. You've just given away one of my tips there, you know that. So that was a hidden thing. It's gone really quickly. You've mesmerised me. You've made me think. You've certainly made me think about things. I think you are charming. I think it's lovely to sit here with someone that's got so much enthusiasm. I don't see a lot of that in the world today. And I don't see such a smiley face all the time either. So it's lovely to see that.
Thank you.
I wish you well with your practice. I've got no doubts you'll achieve what you want to achieve. And anyone that instructs you to work on their projects, very lucky. So all the best going forward. Thank you very much for coming on Blighty Talks Bricks. I'm sure this podcast is going to be one that's going to fly. And that's got cock all to do with me. That's down to you.
Thank you. It's my pleasure. My pleasure, honestly.
Thank you very much for coming on.
Thank you.
Viewers, listeners, 40 minutes has come and gone. I have enjoyed it. Really have enjoyed it. It's been lovely. It's been very relaxed. I think there's lots of great things that I can pick up and learn from this. And I'm sure that you guys that are listening and watching, you might be able to pick up as well. So I hope you do. Take care. Certainly when you're crossing the road, make sure you look left and right.
Stop halfway.
Stop halfway.
Double check.
The green code man never told me that bit. But thank you very much. Take care. See you soon.